Hello and welcome to the Grand Cast, Season 4, Episode 11, on Saturday, February the 24th, in the year 2018. My guest this evening is Mr. Bryce David.
Maurer. I keep it hidden from the kids.
I am one of the kids, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Although I wish I was last name David. I could say I'm, you know, related to the Mr. Larry David.
Oh, I was going to ask that, so I'll just cross that off now.
Now, wouldn't that be wonderful, though, I think?
Absolutely.
Good connections to have.
Yeah, and he'd just be a lot of fun to hang out with, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely up my, like, social ante.
How'd you feel about the newest season
of Curb?
Yeah,
I thought it was really good. I'm glad to see that it came back and it was full swing. They didn't hold anything back, but I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
It was good. I was glad to see some, like, Cheryl and Ted action.
Definitely.
So,
hopefully there's another season.
Oh, I'm sure there will be.
For too long.
I'm sure.
5-year break was pretty long.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the new thing, isn't it?
Long breaks?
Well, yeah, like the shows disappearing and then coming back.
Oh.
Now they just need to do it with Lost, and I'll be so happy.
Oh, boy. I don't know if they could ever redeem themselves for that ending.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe not.
I'd like to see J.J. Abrams try, though.
Oh, if anybody could.
His first few seasons were so good, and then it was just like,
yeah, fuck? I will say, seasons 4 or 5, it was rough. It was hard to stay on, but I'm glad I did. I liked how it ended.
If they had any sort of meaningful, like, how all the story came together, like, what the things represented, then I don't know. I would have enjoyed it a lot more if it was more cohesive, I guess.
Yeah, some big plot points that didn't get resolved. Charlie dying was a big low point. I thought he was probably one of the strongest characters. But they kept Hurley around, you know, and everybody loves Hugo.
Oh, yeah.
John Locke with the whole becoming the... And I don't mean to, like, say any spoilers, so I'm sorry to anyone out there who has not watched or finished the show. But the John Locke becoming a smoke monster thing, I don't know about that.
I have a, I don't know if you'd call it a conspiracy theory, but I think the John Locke is Creed Bratton from The Office.
Okay, I thought you were talking about, like, Creed, like Apollo Creed from Rocky, which would be interesting as well. But yeah, no, Creed, did you see he's coming around here?
To the intersection, I think.
Is he?
I think that's
performing.
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
Probably not. Maybe? I don't know. I think I don't know when it is or how much it costs. I'll have to look. If it wasn't unreasonable,
it'd be worth checking out.
Yeah, I think
that'd I have be no funny. Idea what his act is.
I don't know. It depends who they use for tickets, too. I hate Ticketmaster so much.
Yeah, well, StubHub's not much better. But at this point, I mean, I went and saw Birbiglia.
Yeah.
And I got tickets through Ticketmaster for him.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because I was comparing that with, like, 3 other sites.
Mm-hmm.
And the same seats, relatively the same seats, were, like, $20, $30 in different ranges.
Huh.
But the original site, which had Birbiglia's tickets, were all sold out within the first day. So it was all these other companies that bought up their King's share.
That's such a greasy business. I don't know what they can do to fix it, like to make sure that the fans get the tickets. I think maybe it was Louis C.K. had it so you would have to show your ID. Like the person who bought the tickets had to show their... What? Identity verification is bad for ticket sales? Is that...
Oh, no, that was the CK thing. You have to...
You don't like Louis CK?
Well, I mean, we have to... Kind of, he's, you know...
The funniest comedian alive?
Really? I would disagree.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I disagree.
Who's your...
Oh, I go back and forth, but I think right now, for me, the funniest comedian out there, I think Mulaney's pretty funny. But I also think Gaffigan is really funny, and I think I could probably listen to Gaffigan over and over again and still laugh.
Ah.
But there are days that I feel like Patton Oswalt's the funniest, too. So I think it goes with my mood.
All right.
But CK's never been... I've never been a fan of him, actually.
He's so productive.
I get it.
Show is fantastic. Different hour every
the
year.
The show was good. The show was good. I never watched the HBO ones.
Oh.
Which is a different show, I think. It was a slightly different show.
The episodes?
Was it? HBO... Well, it wasn't HBO, it was Louis.
Louis was FX.
Okay, but there was I think it's some other show prior to that that HBO did like a season of.
Oh, I don't know if I watched that one.
I never watched it.
He did his own thing, Horace and Pete, and released it directly through his website.
I saw that. It takes place like a bar in a basement.
Yeah, I don't think it was a basement, but it was definitely in a bar with Steve Buscemi, Alan Alda.
That's right. I saw that on YouTube, I think.
Andy Falco.
That's right.
Really interesting series. Like comedic, but also serious.
Yeah, but a good combo to have. Comedic with dramatic.
Yep. So I like to have at the beginning of each show the mission statement and the goals, with the mission statement being that the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan through a series of conversations. That's been revised down a little bit to make it less specific. Initially, I was only going to do it in 2017, but here we are. Then I have two goals for the show. The first is a goal I haven't been attaining, but it is a goal nonetheless, which is to post one new episode weekly. Maybe one day I'll be back on track for that. And then the second goal is to make at least 4 people's day better through the creation of quality content. That used to be 3, but I started counting myself, so I figured I could up it up to 4.
That's good.
Yeah.
Helping yourself. It's part of a good lifestyle.
I think so.
You got to take care of yourself.
Yeah. Getting into the interview portion, Bryce.
Yes.
What is your favorite color?
I've been thinking about this one. I knew it was going to be coming up. I'll go with a dark blue. Like a dark royal blue.
Okay.
My default favorite color used to be orange.
Oh.
But then I had to add too many caveats because I don't like anything that's orange flavored. And I don't really own anything that's orange. So then I started to realize that I actually don't like orange. I just like the idea of orange.
Huh.
So I transitioned to more the dark blue. Because I own a ton of stuff that's dark blue. And I wear it all the time.
I think that's a good choice.
So that must mean it's my favorite.
Yeah. Huh. If you had to be transformed into an animal, which type of animal would you choose to be?
Living? Extinct?
It could even be fantastical if you'd like.
Fantastical. I think I'd go with... I think it'd be kind of cool to be a dog.
Because
they're just kind of... I mean... Like a lab. Like an old... Like 8 or 9 year old lab.
Oh.
Because they've just settled, you know? they're okay with everything around them. They just take it easy. Nobody judges them. They're okay with the fact that they just do their own thing. And they're not hyper anymore. Yeah, they'll go and grab a toy if they feel like it. Nobody gets angry if they eat the sandwich off the counter. It's just a good life, you know? Being like an 8 or 9 year old Labrador Retriever.
That does sound nice. And what is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
Probably when I was pretty young, my brother Christian and I discovered the best of Will Ferrell, and then subsequently the best of Chris Farley in my parents' DVD collection, and we would watch it on repeat, like day after day, and then my brother Peter would get in on it too, and we would get all the skits memorized, and we'd quote it, and I think that's probably the first. And then my parents let us start watching the actual show, you know, the next day, recorded or whatever. Probably Saturday Night Live and Nickelodeon, but I mean, I don't know if I qualify that as comedy now.
I think it counts.
Well, SpongeBob SquarePants is timeless.
Yeah.
I think I remember quite a few great jokes of my childhood stemming from that show.
But there's a lot of layers to that show.
There is. I mean, the episode where SpongeBob rips his pants. Do you remember that one?
No.
Dude. I used to own that. I owned that on my, Video Hits Now, I think is what it was. It's like this little tiny player with a 1.5-inch screen, and you'd put a little disc in, and one show on the disc, and then it would play in black and white on this little tiny screen, and I had the SpongeBob SquarePants where he ripped his pants, and I had the Fairly Odd Parents episode where, like, it was the sticky, icky, like, the teen idol episode, where he convinces the teen idol to come and take his babysitter away so that she will leave him alone or whatever. I had those two episodes on this thing, and I'd hide under my blankets and watch it.
Oh, it's amazing how much video technology has changed.
I know.
Now everybody's got a HD TV in their pocket.
It's true. With some pretty fantastical abilities.
Yeah. People still call them cell phones, but they're pretty far from cell phones anymore.
Well, and then a
supercomputer.
Isn't it crazy when you see somebody who actually has what would be considered a cell phone? Like, you see somebody pull out a flip phone, and it seems like, who are you? How can you exist still? Truly, how can you, like, be part of everything when you can't even, like, Google on your phone or something? It's just crazy.
I don't know.
Guess it's just the millennial in me.
It's definitely extremely convenient.
It's true.
But I think for a lot of applications, a home computer, whether it's a laptop or a desktop, is a superior environment for a lot of things that people do on their phone.
It's true. Like
word processing on your phone, not great.
That's true. Yeah, you can't do a whole lot of the typing. Yeah. Do you carry cash?
Yeah.
That's something you do?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I don't carry any cash.
Oh, ever?
Yeah, I know.
It saved my ass the other day.
Did it?
Because I forgot my wallet. Like, I take my wallet out of my pants to, I think I was ordering something online, and I didn't put it back in my pocket. So when I got to lunch the next day, I didn't have my wallet and I had already ordered, but I had cash to pay for it, so...
That's good. I mean, I think I, you know, every once in a while I have like a random $5 bill, but I don't inherently get cash to carry it.
Oh.
My uncle's a banker and it drives him crazy that I don't carry cash.
Yeah. If you're just buying like a beer at a bar.
Debit card.
Yeah. But then it takes longer and.
Not really. It's pretty fast.
You got to sign a thing and then it takes longer for the bartender and they get pissed and...
But not really, because you know what? I think that if I were to carry cash, I would give more realistic tips.
Oh, what's a realistic tip for you?
So here's a good example. I was at a Chinese buffet 2 days ago, and somebody, as we were leaving, said, remember, tipping at a buffet is 10%. Did you know that? I don't know. Somebody I was with, but they said...
Stingy person?
I don't know. But, well, you don't have really service at a buffet. You go in, you sit down, you serve yourself. So you're tipping the busboy, I guess? 10%?
Don't they bring out drinks and refill drinks?
I guess that's true. We only had water, so... But anyway, she said this. Tipping at a 10%. So my meal was $8.
Mm-hmm.
So by that logic, my tip should have been 80 cents. But I pay with a card, so yeah. I tip $2.
Yeah. Like for lunch, it should be like $2 or $3 standard. If.
But even so, if I did a fair 20% tip, it would have been $1.60. And if I would be carrying cash, if I was carrying cash, I think I probably would leave like $1.50. But with my card, it's more realistic where I'm just like, I don't want to do the change part. I just want to do a nice something easy.
Huh.
Because it's all imaginary, you know? Which is also why I spend too much money.
Yeah, it's just points on a screen.
It's just points on a screen.
Hmm.
Think about it. All of you out there, think about it.
Yeah, one way to budget, too, is just to only have a certain amount of cash, and once you spend the cash, it's gone.
This is also true.
So, like, when I'm pulling out a $5 bill and then two single dollar bills to buy one beer at the bar, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you can see it actually leaving you
rather
as
than
opposed
a
to
$25
like,
bar tab at the end of the night.
That's true. Like, the next day, looking and seeing, oh, wow, that was
a lot
more than
gone.
I thought, and I didn't actually see it leave my pocket. That's a good point, too.
Hmm.
Perhaps I'll start carrying cash.
At least some emergency money. Like, if your card gets compromised and it gets turned off, like, and you have to buy gas or a snack or something.
That's true.
I think it's always good to keep a 20 stashed away somewhere.
That's probably not a bad idea.
It's a hidden coat pocket or whatever.
Yeah, or even somewhere hidden in my car or something like that.
Yeah. Never know.
That's true.
Or when the Russians hack the data mainframes and shut
Tell
down
what,
everything
man.
Like they did in Die Hard 4.
Never seen the Die Hard movies.
None of them?
Never.
Oh, boy. They're all worth watching.
Are they?
Yeah.
How many are there?
The fifth one is not worth watching. I rescind my statement.
Okay.
The first
four. So there's four that are worth watching.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Godfather situation.
I think all those are worth watching.
Are they?
They didn't keep going until it was awful. I mean, three wasn't incredible, but...
Yeah.
I think they were all good. Die Hard 5. Ugh.
Okay. I won't...
Yeah. First four, though. Maybe there's six Die Hards now?
I'm just not a big action movie person.
Yeah.
I'm...
It is a lot of gratuitous
I'm
violence.
I'm a big rom-com guy.
Not
I
really
love romantic comedies.
Yeah. Not a lot of...
No rom-com aspects. Yeah.
Four, there's some like family drama stuff a little bit.
Maybe I should watch four.
And there's like a Harrier plane hovering and Justin Long is a computer hacker.
Justin Long is in Die Hard?
Four, I think.
Is this pre or post Dodgeball?
Oh boy. Dodgeball's pretty old. I would say post.
Okay.
I don't know that for certain.
So during his being a Mac phase?
I believe so.
Okay. In his prime. I don't think he's not doing anything anymore, I don't think.
He's got to be doing something.
I'm sure he is, but it's not... I haven't seen him in anything big recently.
Huh. I don't know.
He was in the Steve Jobs movie, I think, a couple years ago. I think he played Steve Jobs, or maybe he plays Steve Wozniak.
Did he?
He was in it.
There was a couple of those. I don't know. There were like two Steve Jobs movies that came out at the same time.
Yeah, because you're right, because there was another one that... Oh, I don't remember.
Wasn't there Ashton Kutcher? Didn't he do one?
I think you're right. I could be completely
wrong. I don't
think
I watched either.
I could be completely wrong. I just think I remember Justin Long being in an Apple movie.
He should be if he hasn't been.
Yeah, truly.
How did you get involved in performing comedy?
I would have to... I actually have to thank my senior year language arts teacher.
Mm.
I did a lot of theater in elementary, middle, and high school, but it was organized theater, you know, musicals and plays. But I never really did anything with improv or comedy, aside from playing a comedic part in a play. But as I was getting ready to graduate, my teacher, Nancy Knott, told me about a group at Michigan State that her daughter was a part of called the Royal Improv Players. And she told me that because I was going to Michigan State and she knew that I liked to be funny, it might be something worth checking out. And so first week of school at Michigan State, I went to their first meeting and it was like instantly I'd found something. It was like this whole world that I'd never knew existed, but then I just needed.
Hmm.
And from that point on, it was like every week, improv, improv, improv.
Speaking of improv, I guess this isn't explicitly improv, but let's talk about Late Night Grand Rapids.
Sure. Well, I certainly came into it at a point where they decided they wanted to do a little bit more improv. At least that's what they've stated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of sketch.
Yes.
And I had been part of a small sketch group in college for only a few months. We were just trying. It never took off and we never had a show, but we did do some writing together. And it was interesting, but I never kind of pushed it along and it just teetered out. I kind of thought, yeah, sketch is cool, but I don't think it would be anything I ever partake in. But then they offered me a spot to come and be in their show, and I accepted, and it was really fun. And then they offered me a full-time slot, and I said I'd like to start writing if possible. So I've started that process. It's harder than you'd think.
Oh.
I think it's harder. I was not a big writer as a kid. You had to push me to write. Mm. I would read like nobody's business. You'd really push me to write.
Mm.
But I'm enjoying it. There is a small bit of freedom in putting what I think on paper. And having a group of people who can help me punch it up and make it even better. I think that's really cool, and I didn't know that was something that you did. But it's been a really good experience so far, and I'm excited to continue with them.
And let's talk about That's My Sitcom.
Sure. The more improvised portion of Late Night. That's certainly my outlet right now for improv. We had a show about a month ago. If I am remembering the time correctly. And that was a blast. I had never done a sitcom show before. I'd seen quite a few. And we changed it up this year. We did, or this season, I suppose. We did something totally new where you pull archetypes out and it's kind of blank slate. The characters are all fresh. The scenario's all fresh. Because last year they did a lot with friendlies.
Yep.
And the characters at friendlies. But they decided it was time for a change, and I thought it was really cool the way we went about it. And it's fun practicing it, too, because you get good at the format. You get good at realizing, okay, at this point I should add a pun because it would be perfect for the audience to have like a ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. You know, a laugh break.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's just an interesting, and it's a whole other beast because you're improvising, but also at the same time, you are staying so true to a certain format. Because a sitcom is not like regular television. It's not like regular TV shows. I mean, there's a conflict and a side conflict, and both of which usually end up with some sort of resolution during the course of a 30-minute episode, which is actually usually only more like 22 minutes because of commercials. So it's fun.
Yeah. It's interesting to see like the structure behind the stories and how they adapt it. And have you ever tried stand-up comedy?
A few times in college, I did. I was in the Last Spartan Standing, and then I did a couple kind of open mics, but I it didn't do anything for me.
Oh.
I don't know. I think part of it is I love the team aspect of improv. I like that there's other people that I'm playing with and playing off of. Whereas stand-up, it's all me, and I don't like that.
Hmm. Let's talk about Beer City Improv.
All right.
And The Herald.
Okay. Yeah, Beer City doesn't really exist anymore. It kind of fell apart. I joined in at the end, and everybody kind of went their separate ways, you know? But it was fun while it lasted. Yeah. And it was a good way for me to get into this scene, get to know some people and figure out who I should be talking to about other opportunities and where can you go around town to see good improv. It was a good kind of christening into the scene. But the Herald is actually something I practiced in college. My college team would do the Herald.
And what is the Herald?
The format of a Herald is that you are doing three beats, and each beat is broken up with a game, but each beat also consists of three separate scenes. So in an ideal Herald, you'd start with an idea generation, and then you'd go into the first beat, scene A, and then scene B, and then scene C. Then you'd go into a group game as kind of a palate cleanser. Then you would go into A2, and then B2, and then C2, another group game. And then with Beer City, what we would do is the third beat would be kind of bringing it all together in a run, whereas in college, we would do a third beat that was scene A3, B3, and C3. It kind of changes, and the Herald is different all over.
Hmm.
But I think the grassroots most basic form of a Herald is three beats with games in the middle.
In
college our Herald would be about 25 minutes, because if we went to the college improv tournament you only had 20 minutes or so, and then they would black you out, so we kind of had to conform to that. Beer City we could do more like 25, but even so we were usually in a slot at Com. So, You use the time that you get.
And that's Comedy Outlet Mondays at Dog Story Theater.
Absolutely.
Every Monday at 7 p.m. for only $6.
$6.
Local comedy and music.
Now with a bar.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But sometimes is more than never.
Yeah. Check out Facebook for more details.
I agree. Great talent there. Good night.
For watching, do you prefer improv, stand-up, or sketch comedy?
I would say I really love to watch stand-up the most, because it's something that I envy, but at the same time, I'm glad I don't do it because I don't think I could. But it's an art. I truly see it as a high art. So I love watching stand-up. And then I would say sketch. And then I'd say improv. I think it's just because I've been doing improv for so long. I watch it less through somebody watching it and more of thinking critically about it.
You've seen how the sausage is made, and now that's what you think about.
Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Oh, boy.
You ever ridden in the Wienermobile?
I'm not sure how to interpret that question. No.
Oh, no, they would. The actual Oscar Mayer Wienermobile would sometimes go around East Lansing and, like, park outside various Meyers and, like, give out coupons for hot dogs. I never actually got to go inside of it, but I got a picture in front of it once.
There was a Rickmobile from Rick and Morty that went around the country last year.
Did it go to Grand Rapids? Or come to
Grand
Rapids?
I don't think so. I think it went to like Detroit or something.
Huh.
It wasn't a very extensive tour.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Did you watch the season 4 teaser?
What?
Yeah.
When did that come out?
I watched it yesterday, but I don't know when it actually came out. It's 5 minutes. It's pretty good.
What?
Yeah, write it down.
I thought that wasn't supposed to be out until 2019. Did they lie?
Oh, it's here, baby. It's here. That and the Szechuan sauce coming back.
Oh, fuck McDonald's. Oh, sorry. In my opinion, fuck McDonald's.
So, if you were given a choice between any fast food, what would be the one place you'd go?
Like, to eat?
Correct.
For what meal?
You're driving down the highway.
Uh-huh.
You're on a long road trip.
Okay.
You see an exit with any fast... It's all the fast food restaurants at this exit. It's like definitely a small city.
Yeah.
But you haven't eaten in a while, and you know you probably won't be able to eat for a while. So
what
you
time
have
of day
to stop
it?
Here. It's pushing 7. You've been driving all day. Yeah, 7 p.m.
And how much longer until I'm at my final destination?
You're driving through the night.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going to Florida.
I would never do that.
And you're, you got 3 kids in the back. They're kicking at the back of your seat.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You got to stop. Which one do you pick?
We're driving through the night, so it's got to be something not too risky.
Yeah, but also it can't be too long because you got a dog in the back and you don't want to leave your windows down. Because even though it is kind of a Georgia night, it's still going to be a little toasty.
It could be chaotic evil and go for White Castle.
I don't know. Wait. Okay.
It's delicious, but the consequences can be dire.
White Castle then, huh?
No. That was if I was going to be chaotic evil, but
okay.
I don't like to be chaotic evil.
No.
We got all of them for options. Usually I'll default to Taco Bell, I think. They've got decent non-meat options or low-meat options.
It's true. Are you a vegetarian?
No, but I've been trying to eat less and less meat. Kind of. It's delicious.
Sure.
But I also think more about the externalities of the meat industry.
Yeah, for sure.
I saw a video on Facebook of one of those animal transportation trucks, and it was full of pigs, but this was like during the summer, so it was super hot out, and the guy like fed the pig some water, and it was so thirsty because it was so hot, and I felt really bad.
Yeesh.
But bacon is delicious, and so are sausages, so...
Yeah, I was going to say Arby's is my choice, but now I'm taking it... I don't know if I want to go with it now, think of that mental image. Nah, I still want to go with Arby's. I love Arby's.
Their curly fries are so good.
That and the potato cakes. You ever had those before? They're like mini hash browns. And a Jamocha shake, dude. Are you kidding me?
What is Jamocha?
It's like chocolate mixed with coffee, I think.
Oh.
I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm not usually supposed to do it because I never carry pills.
Ah.
But every once in a while, I push it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
Huh. I was going to say I haven't had Arby's in forever, but I did have it maybe 2 months ago, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was on a job site and there's not a lot around there and someone else was going to go pick it up. So it's like, all right. And I got these hellish creations. It was an Oreo donut, like a donut hole that was filled with Oreo cream.
Ooh.
Like a chocolate donut hole.
Sounds dangerous.
With chunks of Oreo in it. Oh my God.
It was good.
It tasted so good, but it's ridiculous. Like the food scientists are out of control with their evil creations. Like, there was so much sugar in those things.
That's what makes them so great.
I guess so.
Did you ever have the Oreo cereal?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. And apparently it's come back.
Oh, no.
In select states, you can get this Oreo cereal. Anybody out there listening, if you have found it, you need to contact me and tell me where, because I've been looking furiously for this cereal. It's truly something else.
Oh, I've been stuck on Super Mario cereal.
Oh, I never had that.
It's like a really limited time thing for Super Mario Odyssey. In the box, there's an amiibo chip, like an RFID tag.
So they can track you.
Yeah. It tastes just like Lucky Charms, but like fruit flavored. So
okay.
It's kind of like a mixture of Trix and Lucky Charms, I would say. Which is... And the box has got Mario on it, so that's okay. Cool.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. I mean, I wish you all the best in continuing that, and I hope it doesn't go away too soon, much like Oreo cereal did.
I hope it goes away soon. It's not healthy. Okay. A lot of sugar.
Well, then I wish that too.
It's not terrible. It's got at least some fiber in it. There's a lot of those sugar cereals where there's no fiber. It's just sugar, basically.
It's true. Raisin Bran Crunch is really bad for you. And
really?
That's what I read on. I could have read on Facebook. I am such I'm such an idiot when it comes to Facebook. I see these articles and I read them, and I don't know why, but my brain says that it's all true.
Someone took the time to write it, so it must be.
I'm too trustworthy. I read something yesterday that said there was going to be a Step Brothers 2, and I got really excited about it. And I called my brother, and he goes, "Bryce, you're an idiot. That is clickbait, and you have become our mother."
Oh boy!
Because my mom does the same thing. So,
if you want it to be true, then
I do. Well, I think I think it could be good. I think they could make a good Step Brothers 2.
They could. It's worth a shot. You don't have to watch it. It's not going to make the first one worse.
It's true.
Roll those dice.
Anchorman 2 was a failure, in my opinion.
That was so bad. It was all just product placement.
I know. It ruined... In my mind, I think it really did tarnish the Anchorman 1.
Oh. It made the first one worse.
Well, Yeah.
I guess if you go back and watch it, you're going to be thinking of all the stupid shit in the second one.
It's the same universe.
Huh. What if they make it, you don't go see it right away, you wait for the reviews to come out. If the reviews are bad, you just ignore that it ever existed.
I could probably do that.
Some people might still like it.
I'm sure that some people do that.
A steaming pile of...
My dad never sees movies in the movie theater. He just tells me what the New York Times says it is. And most of the time, he's wrong.
You see the new Dumb and Dumber?
I did see that. Regrettably, I did see that.
That was bad. Zoolander 2.
I've put off watching that. And I know it's on Amazon Prime.
Just skip it.
I have. Every single time I scroll past it. And even just the picture on the front, they all look so old.
Oh.
And it's just like, oh, you're going to be trying too hard the whole movie to make it as good as the first. And you can't.
Yeah, that was regrettable. But it could have been...
You think?
Maybe. I don't know.
Under different circumstances.
I'm glad they tried.
Different director.
Different writers. I don't know.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yep. There's got to be some good sequels.
Maybe they should get J.J. Abrams on it, you know?
He makes good movies. They're just... There's nothing original. It's kind of a rehash of...
Well, he rehashed Star Trek. I thought he did a pretty good job with it.
They were entertaining. They were good to watch, but I'm not going to go back and rewatch them. They weren't anything... For me, they weren't anything incredible.
They're not incredible, but they're enjoyable.
Yeah, they followed the Star Trek pattern extremely well. Mm-hmm. All the old themes and styles and... I don't know. I'm glad they made them. I'm glad I watched them.
No.
I liked the new Star Trek series.
Discovery I have not seen that.
I liked the Orville more.
I like the Orville too.
I loved the first season of the Orville. That's probably one of the best sci-fi things that I've watched.
I haven't finished it, but I've watched, I think, 6 episodes. It's very good. And yeah. I came into it with low expectations. And nothing against Seth MacFarlane. I mean, he's done some good stuff. His performance in Zootopia was phenomenal.
Yep.
Am I right? No, it's not Zootopia. It was Sing.
Oh.
Did you?
They're very similar.
Yeah. It was Sing, but he played a little rat, a mouse, that had a Frank Sinatra type vibe. Yeah. Beautifully done. I loved that. Ted 2? I don't know.
Oh boy. Even Ted 1. Oh.
Yeah, Ted 1, yeah. Family Guy made me laugh a lot when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Family Guy and American Dad.
Oh, I forgot he did that.
Yeah.
I never really got into that show.
It was very formulaic and repetitive, but there was definitely some gold stuff in there.
He's good at entertaining.
Yeah, he brought back Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Did he really?
Yeah. Like huh, he's got a lot of pull at that. Fox because they don't want to lose his cartoons, so they give him some leeway in making things like Cosmos and now the Orville.
Yeah, that's true. You know, when they need you, they'll let you do whatever you want.
Yep. I even enjoyed Million Ways to Die in the West. I thought that was pretty funny.
I forgot about that movie. I watched that one. I thought it was pretty funny. I wouldn't say, once again, I wouldn't say it's something I would watch over and over again.
Yeah.
But I thought, for the first time watching it, I chuckled.
Definitely.
If you're a big fan of, like, fart jokes and, you know, those types of jokes. Blue humor.
I love it.
Yeah, a good fart joke is...
never not funny?
Yeah, it's never not funny.
I could see times when it would be inappropriate.
Well, a well-placed fart joke.
Yeah.
Or not even well-placed, properly timed.
Yeah.
Gotta know your crowd.
Well, for some people, they're their own audience, so...
It's true.
It doesn't matter so much if
other I live alone, so the jokes that I do to myself, very funny.
Yeah, when you're alone, farts are never not... Well, I guess it could have...
No, they're more sad. when you live alone, farts are more sad. You know, well, they are. I mean, you know, laying in bed and you let one rip and it's kind of like, oh. First of all, there's no one to appreciate that sound. Second of all, I'm laying here in it.
Oh, my walls are pretty thin, so I'm pretty sure my neighbors could hear if it was a really good one.
And that would make it much more entertaining. I have great, great sound barriers in my walls.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was one time in college, after White Castle, actually. Cheap beer in White Castle. And I farted so loud that my roommate through the wall started laughing loudly. And that was one of the funnier things that I've experienced.
And see, that's a good example of like that would be a well-placed fart.
Yeah.
Especially if you know someone's listening, but not trying to look like they're listening. The best way to make them laugh is let one rip. Or just do a little, you know, little sigh.
It's good times. Good times.
That's right.
What is a good movie that you've watched recently?
The Greatest Showman.
Oh, that's Hugh Jackman?
That's right. Yeah, I have watched it like 5 times in last 2 weeks. I love it.
What's that about?
That's the like semi... It's not even... It's very unrealistic. But it's the story of P.T. Barnum and creating Barnum's Greatest Show on Earth circus. Mm. But it's a musical. Zac Efron's in it. Zendaya's in it. Michelle Williams, I think, is her name. I don't know. But it's great music. The dance scenes are really fun to watch. The costumes are cool. The story's a tearjerker. Beginning will make you cry. I love that in a movie. If it makes you cry right off the bat. That's why Up's one of my favorite movies.
That was really, really good. I just watched the newest Pixar movie, Coco. Recently?
Yeah. I haven't seen that one. It was
really good.
Was it?
Yeah.
I should watch that.
Definitely.
It's about the Cinco de Mayo, right? Day of the Dead.
Dia de los Muertes.
Oh, Dio.
Las Muertes?
Forget what I just said. Yes, it's the Dia de las Muertes.
Muertos?
Muertos. I don't know. I don't speak. I wish I spoke Spanish.
Yeah, I know enough to be dangerous. I don't know.
I speak Muertos. German.
Yeah?
Ach, ja.
Das ist eine... I don't...
Yeah.
Schnell.
Mach schnell. Yeah.
Wo ist die Toilette?
I don't know. It's your apartment.
Eine Bier, bitte.
That's good German. You could survive. Honestly, in Germany, just knowing to ask where the bathroom is and please one beer.
Yeah.
You've got it. And also being able to just yell fast.
Yep.
I think you'd survive.
What is a good streaming show that you've watched recently?
Ooh, streaming. That's a great question. Okay, I'm going to limit it to Netflix.
Okay.
Because that's what I've been watching a lot of. Like, watched as in completed or watched as in just started watching, but I really enjoy.
Just watch any of it.
Okay. I've started watching Peaky Blinders.
Oh.
And I really enjoy it. But I've only gotten a couple episodes in. A show that I just finished is The Crown. I just finished season 2 of that.
What's that about?
That's the story of Queen Elizabeth. And, like, it follows her from when she becomes queen in her 20s. And right now, it's into her, like, I think early, maybe late 30s, early 40s. And this season was really focused on, first of all, her relationship with Philip, her husband. And then also, you know, having kids and trying to manage being the queen and also having a family. One of the greatest episodes, though, was they did it where JFK and Jackie Kennedy come and visit. And it's kind of this untold story of the relationship between the queen and Jackie. It's a great show. It's not funny. It's not funny, but it is really, really good.
Nice. Did you watch Boardwalk Empire at all?
Never have. I always see it, but I've never clicked on it.
It was an extremely good gangster series, I guess. That was like 5 or 6 seasons.
Steve Buscemi's in that, right?
Yep. He's the main dude. Like, that Peaky Blinders came out towards the end of Boardwalk Empire, so I was kind of
done with the whole...
At my limits of gangster type...
Prohibition era gangster.
Yeah. Okay. It looked really good. Cillian Murphy is very talented.
It is good. But I could see how if you are already kind of done with that particular genre,
yeah,
you wouldn't want to commit to a whole nother show about it.
Yeah.
It's like I had been watching Game of Thrones and then Vikings came out.
Yep.
And I started watching Vikings, but it was like, I already got my fix. And plus this one has dragons.
Yeah. There's a good Viking show called Norsemen on Netflix. It's a comedy.
Really?
Kind of Monty Python-ish.
Okay.
There was only one season out so far, but it was very funny. Thank you, Tom Hunt, for that recommendation. It's a little bit darker. There's some gore and nudity.
Okay.
Because it's Vikings. Like.
So, TV, MA.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yep. Don't watch that if you're bothered by breastasis.
Correct. Or, yeah.
So what is comedy to you?
Comedy is making others happy.
Mm.
And doing whatever and saying whatever to make people have a sense of joy and comfort.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you knew for absolute certain that 1 year from now humanity would go extinct, how would you spend that time? And nobody else knows.
Wow. No one else knows.
Nobody knows.
And I can't tell anyone.
You can, or you can try.
Gosh. Ah, man, that'd be really hard. I think I would... I just can't keep anything from my girlfriend, Allison. Like, I just tell her everything. And I also tell my mom everything. Not everything, but she and I... We have long chats. I feel like I would try to hold it in, though. I'd try to hold that, because that's a big secret. And I'd just go through my day-to-day and just kind of do the same. But... try to make it as powerful and make every day as important as possible.
Hmm.
go on more vacations, not worry about money as much.
Let's talk about being a teacher.
Okay. Yeah, it's every day I perform. Curtains are up at 8 a.m., whether I like it or not. I got a full house every day. And sometimes they're very receptive, and sometimes I get hecklers. Huh. Actually, I have hecklers every day. Maybe I'd be better at stand-up than I think.
It's an interesting way of looking at it.
Well, it's true. I mean, you know, year one, I've only been teaching for 2 years. I did a year of interning, and then I've had this full-time position for 2 years. And I love it. I teach fifth grade. But it's hard. And there's so much every day that you don't think you're going to be dealing with, because not only are you teaching curriculum, but you are also teaching kids how to be decent people. And you're teaching them that it's not okay to push somebody or steal somebody's thing or write on somebody else's stuff. That's not how you treat other people. And that can be tough. But there's really, really good days too. And there's, you know, there's day for every day that I walk out of there frustrated, there's 10 days that I walk out feeling like I've done something really good. And I think that's important. If I ever start feeling like every day I'm frustrated, then I probably shouldn't be doing it anymore, which is why so many people don't last. The national average is 5 years.
Oh.
Now the national average is people teach for 5 years.
And then get out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So I wonder if there's like a lot of 1 year people and then also a lot of 50 a year.
I think actually most people about 3 years.
Huh.
But they say 5 years is the hump.
If you make it,
if you
past
make it past there, five, then you're in. If you can't make it past the five, then you usually burn.
Is fifth grade your ideal grade, or is there a different one that?
I like fifth grade. I could see enjoying fourth or third. I do not want to do middle school. I can't even imagine middle school. Because if I just think about my own personal experience with middle school,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's, and by the end of fifth grade, they're essentially sixth graders. And that gets difficult. The middle school mentality.
Yeah. Are kids all on like Instagram and crap already by fifth grade, or is that still?
Yeah, they are. A lot of them have phones. A lot of them have iPads. They text each other. I think some have Snapchat. A lot of them have Instagrams. None of them have Twitter. In fact, I introduced a lesson 2 weeks ago where they had to tweet something to me. It was on a post-it note, so they had to write it out. They didn't have any technology to do this with. But I said, okay, you're going to tweet your thoughts to me. And I thought that would be getting through to them because Twitter was just past my time.
Mm-hmm.
Like my coming of age into social media was really Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then Twitter came about later. And so I never really had a Twitter. So I thought, oh, they'll get it. Twitter will be cool for them. So I introduced the lesson, and then one of the kids raised their hands like, Mr. Maurer, what's a tweet? So I had to say, well, it's 160 characters, and inside that, it also includes the spaces, and you can do hashtags, and I had to tell them what a hashtag was. And they enjoyed it.
It's like a history lesson.
Kind of. I can't even imagine if I had something about MySpace.
Oh, boy.
Or do you remember on Facebook, Pieces of Flair? Did you remember having a Pieces of Flair? Yeah, there was a board on the original layout of Facebook. There was a cork board on the side, and people could post Pieces of Flair to you.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, like the, I had one. I had, remember somebody gave me one once that was Dwight Schrute's face. But it was just like, oh, I think you're cool, so I'm going to give you this, you know, Anchorman Piece of Flair.
Huh.
Then they disappeared. As it progressed.
No, it's consuming everything. That's Zuckerberg.
Right. I don't know though. I don't know. I truly think that Facebook will be gone. I think it'll be not gone,
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to be the main form of social media in 10 years.
Huh.
In fact, I don't even think any of the existing... I'm on the record right now. I don't think any of the existing social medias will be the predominant social media platform in 10 years.
Huh.
Because right now, Instagram is the main social media platform for kids.
That's owned by Facebook.
But it's not Facebook. It's Instagram. But even so...
But what if they just
I don't think that's going to last for much longer.
Facebook, oh.
You're right, though. Maybe Facebook will buy the future platform.
They have so much money.
They do have an absurdly large amount of money.
Yes, as long as the up-and-comer never went public, so they couldn't be taken over. Or like Zuckerberg, he kept a majority of the voting shares. So he makes every executive decision.
Do they own Snapchat?
No, Snap stayed independent.
Okay. Twitter?
Twitter's its own thing.
Is it?
For now.
That's how far from all of that. I just don't... I'm pretty much Facebook. And Instagram, but pretty much Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, it's the only app that I use consistently. Because I'm not going to sign into it on my computer.
That and Reddit.
Yeah, that's social media. I hate Reddit so much, but I still go on there every day. It got to the size where it's too valuable of a like delivery platform, so there's so much spam, like so much brand placement and just like shit.
That's actually I have not paid attention to the fact that there are more advertisements now.
Yeah.
But now that I'm thinking about it, you're right.
Yeah.
Because in college, there weren't any.
No.
When I was in college.
There weren't enough viewers to make it worthwhile for it to be corrupted. But now there are these stupid viral, like fake viral memes like Tide Pods, where it starts out as just a marketing campaign and it's so forced. And then people pick it up. They're like, oh, I saw this on social media 10 times. So
and then all those local groups
and
make silly memes about them. And
it's a completely stupid product.
I do use Tide Pods, though.
Oh, no. You should give it up in rebellion against their viral marketing that infected our brains.
Well, I used them before the marketing.
Now's your chance. Give it up.
Really?
Yeah.
We need to have a Tide Pod burning. Like, yeah. Just everybody bring them and throw them into a pile.
That might be incredibly toxic. Hey, you can make the news, like... 100 people violently ill from burning Tide Pods. And then they get more exposure.
And there'll be a new meme about it.
And now we're talking about it. So send my check to the P.O. box listed on the website, please, Tide Corporation.
That's right. You deserve it. You deserve that reimbursement.
But definitely consider using a different laundry product, like 7th Generation makes good stuff.
Do they?
Very eco-friendly. Organic? I don't know if it's organic, but it's more sustainable and non-toxic. Like, no artificial scents and dyes and all the nonsense that visually enhances the product for marketing purposes.
Hmm. Okay. I will look into other detergents.
Anytime I see something advertised a lot, I have, like, a very contrarian, adverse reaction to it. Like, oh, I'm not going to purchase that product ever again, and I'm going to advocate against its use.
I don't think LaCroix has any advertisements. I don't think I've ever seen a LaCroix advertisement. Have you? Maybe that's why
no,
I like them so much.
But it's tasty. What is that, a LaCroix Curate?
I don't know how to say. Yeah, it's the cherry lemon, cherry lime. They're good they're good for being what they are.
Yeah, they're tasty.
If you don't want water, but so you want the same effect of water.
Yeah. I think it's good for people transitioning off soda to water.
Are you transitioning from off of soda?
No, I was off soda for a long time. And then I've kind of been regressing into more soda. Like,
it's hard for me to say soda.
In an unhealthy relationship with Rock and Rye.
Oh, Faygo.
Faygo Rock and Rye. It's so good. Like, and soda, I don't know.
Did you grow up, are you from Michigan?
Yeah.
And you say soda. I say pop.
It's more universal. like, nobody's going to make fun of you for saying soda.
Are you going to make fun of me for saying pop?
Hillbilly. Pop's fine, too.
Soda pop. But
it's too long.
That is too long. In the South, they just say Coke. Do you want
a
Coke?
That's a marketing campaign.
Is it really?
I'm almost certain.
Is it? It's a conspiracy?
Yeah. They just put out these viral memes like, people in the South call pop Coke. And then people saw it and they're like, oh, I guess I'm from the South, so I'll call pop Coke too. I'm pretty sure it was just marketing and people have continued to buy into it.
I'm going to write this down.
Yeah.
I have to do some research.
Yeah. That was before digital communication, so they've probably cleared all record of that ever happening. That's one of my...
In the future, there will be a History Channel documentary.
Yeah. I think it would be really good if people in schools, like if kids in schools had an entire class on marketing techniques, like so that they were aware of how these companies are trying to manipulate them into brand consumption and brand loyalty. And
tell you
stuff.
What, you want to come teach my kids? I'll bring you in for a special day. You can come sub for me for a day and I'll let you just riff on conspiracy theories with fifth graders. I'm sure that they'd be a great audience.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Someone should be doing it.
It's like the Columbus thing.
Christopher Columbus?
Yeah. Well, we grew up being told that he was a hero. But yeah. Really, now... to be honest, I teach the truth.
That the Spanish our school teaches the genocide. Truth.
Well, I don't go hard. I don't go that hard on it, but I do not make him out to be a hero.
Yeah,
I say he was here. He wasn't the first person to discover North America, but he was a person who found it for his specific country.
Yeah,
but he also came in and killed many, many people and treated them awfully. So he's not a hero.
Yeah. That's
funny. Or Abraham Lincoln in the first Thanksgiving, how he created that whole.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Lincoln? Yeah. The whole idea of the first Thanksgiving was kind of created, as a, not restitution, but you know, like we were good to, Native Americans, but really we weren't.
Yeah.
Just sugarcoating it. There was really no first Thanksgiving.
Hmm. I guess that makes sense.
There's a lot of things in history. There's a great book about it.
What
I
book?
Don't remember the... See, I regret saying that because I don't remember the actual title, but it's something like Things That I Never Learned in History Class or something.
Ah.
And there's it's just every chapter is a different topic that we were taught incorrectly.
Yeah. American history is pretty spotty.
World history.
Yeah. Yeah. Human beings. Ugh.
Ugh.
What are they doing?
I don't know. If I had the answer to that one, I'd be a wealthy man, I think.
Let's talk about Dungeons & Dragons.
Let's. I haven't played in about a year. Tom Mayer.
Not to name names, but...
was supposed to start a game up for us, but I have a hope that it will happen someday, because I have a brilliant character created for that campaign.
He has mono right now, so maybe
he's
at home wizarding up some campaigns or something.
Well, maybe not when this comes out. Maybe he'll be fully well.
Yeah. It depends how severe his mono is.
That's true. Well, Tom, I hope you're feeling better at this point, Tom. And I hope you used your time in bed to work on this campaign. No, I started playing D&D in high school with some of my buddies in theater. Duh. But we played 3.5 and it was kind of half really what D&D actually is. It was kind of our interpretation of what D&D should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then in college I played more hardcore D&D with some people who actually knew what they were doing. And actually, that made it way more fun. Because if you know people who actually know the rules, having to roll a die because you joked about throwing a fork at someone and then you have to see what the actual repercussions of that action are, you learn that like everything you're doing is being listened to and watched. And it's actually great training for improv.
Hmm. Yeah, there seems to be a lot of crossover.
Are you a character kind of person? I mean, do you, like, take on the voice?
I've never done, like, a role-playing game. I only ever really did one campaign of 5th edition. That was, like, a long one, like, quite a few months before it fizzled out.
Okay.
I've never done 3.5 yet.
You're missing out.
Yeah, I'm still pretty new to it. I like RPG video games. Especially Skyrim.
Ooh, great game.
Quite a few hours in Skyrim.
What's your go-to class in Skyrim?
I only did the one character.
Khajiit?
Nope. Half-elf, archer.
Ooh, that's a pretty like pumpkin spice latte character right there.
Yeah. That was like my first, like, I'm going to play this game until I never want to see it again kind of experience. I got like 90 hours into it, which is
nothing for Skyrim. But you know what? That's the point of it, is just to totally absorb yourself in this fictional world.
Yeah. It's so deep. Like Skyrim, there's this whole lore of the continent that it's on and all these races and their history with each other and these wars and battles and there's like magic factions and there's so much.
It's pretty cray.
Yeah, and it's massive. Like if you just want to ride a horse around, you could do that like for days and never see the same thing twice.
Well, that's part of the beauty of Skyrim is that they made it so it is constantly generating random scenarios, so there's actually no end to the game. Which is probably why they haven't released a new one. It's because they're just letting people enjoy their beauty.
Yeah. Like if you want to, you can just make a house and grow a garden.
It's true. You can even adopt, get married. Get married and adopt some kids and just live a 8-to-5 life.
Yeah.
Live and die by the sword.
But I think it would be fun at some point to do like a role-playing D&D, like to actually try to be the character with the voice and mannerisms and all that. It'd be interesting.
It is. Very fun.
What does it mean to be a comedian?
I think that goes back to the what is comedy. To be a comedian is to be an entertainer who uses humor to bring joy to people. And I think you can be a comedian in many different ways. You know, there's people who are comedians who are solely just on the stage comedians. Because I know a few comedians who are just very docile and relaxed in real life. You wouldn't even know that they're somebody who gets up on stage and makes crowds of people laugh. But then there's also people who have a gift of just making people laugh no matter what. My brother is somebody who can do that. He just can make anybody laugh no matter what. I envy that. Because he doesn't have to really even try. Or at least maybe he does, but
makes it seem effortless.
Yeah. Any group of people, he can just make them laugh.
Is it mostly fart jokes?
No. I mean, some. But, nah, he can make people laugh.
Who are some of your role models?
Personally, some of my role models, my uncle, my dad. Professionally, there's a few teachers that I've had that are kind of who I want to be. Scott Crocker was my English language arts teacher early in high school. Michael Scheidt, he was a drama teacher of mine. Laurel Scheidt, both of them. Big inspirations for me. Comedically, Birbiglia, I love his style. Gaffigan, I love his jokes. I like, and I know this is not what, there are people out there that just can't stand him, but I really love Jimmy Fallon for how he...
Oh.
No, here's what I love about him. Mm-hmm. He seems so genuine. He seems like he's honestly having a good time every day. And I know that he can come off as seeming like he's faking his laugh, and it seems like he's repeating the same things over and over. But to me, every time I watch him, I feel like he's honestly enjoying what he's doing.
Hmm.
And I love that. I think if you can find something that you can have that much joy and fun with every day, you're living a good life.
Let's talk about Kalamazoo comedy.
I don't know. I got to be honest. There's not. I don't know a whole lot about Kalamazoo comedy.
Oh.
Because my whole career in comedy has been East Lansing and then Grand Rapids.
Oh.
I haven't
done a
whole
lot. Do you live in Kalamazoo?
No, I live in Grand Rapids.
Oh. Your Facebook's out of date then.
Is it?
I think so.
It's to keep the kids away. It's to keep everyone off my trail.
Okay. Well.
I'll have to update that though.
I'm not going to ask you about Kalamazoo then.
You can't. I mean, my parents live there. I grew up there. I think that there's a group. Well, there's the Western Michigan team. I don't know what they're called, but there is one, and they have a subgroup called Box Fan, which I saw once.
Box Fan is so good.
They are very good. I really enjoyed them.
Yeah.
And then there's Crawlspace Eviction, which is a sketch and improv group. They're adults, people in the working world who just come together. And I've seen some of their stuff on, like, YouTube. I've never seen their show.
Hmm.
So in a roundabout way, I was able to answer some things about
Kalamazoo
comedy.
What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids, and what do you like to order there?
Hmm. I really like going to Blue Water Grill.
Up on the Beltline?
I think it's close to there. I'm still very bad with directions, but I've been there a few times now, and every time I've ordered something different, and every time it's been pretty phenomenal. Uh-huh. But also, they have this dessert there that is a flourless chocolate cake with a... like raspberry and strawberry compote.
All right.
It is the most dense yet rich cake I've ever had in my entire life.
Mm.
And it's got like a scoop of handmade ice cream on top that just melts onto it when they bring it to you. It's worth going just for that.
Yeah, my mouth is watering.
But it's also not cheap, so if I had to go on like a more realistic day-to-day restaurant... Founders, for two reasons.
Oh.
The beer and the sandwiches.
Yeah, they got good food there.
They do.
I really like their chili.
Oh, the, is it the Dirty Bastard chili? I think that's the beer that they use in it. But yeah, the chili's good.
Yeah.
I like to get the pulled pork, but I don't remember. I think that's called the Backwoods Bastard sandwich.
Mm.
But it's good.
Yeah, real good food. What is your favorite thing about performing comedy?
I think my favorite thing about performing comedy is the feeling that you get at the end of the show when you go backstage with the rest of the group and you're all just kind of looking at each other and celebrating in what you did. Like when the group leaves the stage after the show is done, there's this feeling of relief because the show's done and it hopefully went well. And also there's this feeling of like companionship and unity, because you're like, we did this together. We worked together and we brought happiness to these people. Good for us.
Hmm. And what is your favorite thing about watching comedy?
When something completely unexpected happens. Well, because I feel like a lot of the time you can see what's going to happen. If you're really in tune with the format or you know the game, you can pick up on what's going to happen. But when somebody completely throws you off and sets the scene into a new path, but like a good path, and it's such an awesome choice, but you weren't thinking it, it's awesome. It's revolutionary.
And the final question of the interview portion of the show, if you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Put your foot on the brake sooner so that you don't slam into the back of that car going to get your driver's license.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did that delay getting your driver's license?
No, because the police officer said if you hurry, it won't be in the system by the time you get there. It was a stressful day.
That's funny. I haven't had time yet to set up a musical transition into the break, so if you wouldn't mind doing some sort of whatever you're feeling like doing, and then ring this bell to let me know that you're done.
All right.
Please.